legal practice be? And we will request provinces to present their mandates, starting with the Eastern Cape. Just a moment,
thank you very much, Chair. The province votes in favor of the bill. I want to say that first. The definitions of advocate, attorney, and conveyance are clearly outlined in our document. But our submission is as follows. Although the bill clearly does not seek to fuse the nature of the profession of an advocate with that of an attorney or vice versa, the above definitions seems to inadvertently fuse the two professions and accordingly must be reviewed as follows, which is our submission. Advocate means a legal practitioner who was duly admitted and enrolled as an advocate in terms of the Admission of Advocates Act 1964, or who is admitted and enrolled and registered as such under this act. Attorney means a legal practitioner who was duly admitted and enrolled as an attorney in terms of the Attorneys Act 1979, or who is admitted, enrolled, and registered as such under this act. Conveyancer means a person who practices as a conveyancer, as defined in Section 102 of the Deeds Registries Act 1937. Clause 5, object of the bill, although it is stated clearly under Clause 5 that the bill seeks to, amongst others, to promote public interest, in our view is that the bill also seeks to promote the interests of the legal profession. We therefore propose that it must be added under this clause that the bill also seeks to promote the interests of the legal profession, due to the fact that the interest of the public is integral to that of the legal profession and vice versa. It is a fact that the promotion of the interest of the legal profession will create a profession that has integrity, subscribing to the highest standards of service delivery, and ethics. All these are not only beneficial to the legal profession, but will promote public interest as well. Clause 7, composition of the council. Clause 7.1b provides for the appointment of two teachers of law to serve on the council, one being a dean of faculty of law at a university in the Republic, and the other being a teacher of law designated in a prescribed manner. This clause is vague due to the fact that there is no clarity as to who may nominate or designate these teachers. These teachers of law to serve on the council. We submit that this must be reconstructed as follows. Two teachers of law, one being a dean of the faculty of law at a university within the Republic, and the other being a teacher of law at a university in the Republic designated by teachers of law at South African universities. We make reference to Section 1781G of the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa, Act 108 of 1996, where a similar construction is used to nominations of persons to serve on the Judicial Service Commission. Clause 17, the decision of the Council. Clause 17(1) provides that the majority of members of the council constitute a quorum at any meeting of the council. We suggest that this clause be amended to read as follows: a majority view of the members present at a meeting of the council constitutes a decision of the council. This amendment will also be in line with clause 29D of the bill, where a similar construction is used. Clause 40. Proceedings after disciplinary hearings and sanctions. The power of disciplinary committee in terms of clause 43A(1) to order the legal practitioner to pay compensation to a complainant is misplaced and, in our view, must be removed, as the reimbursement of persons who suffer pecuniary loss at the hands of legal practitioners is covered under clause 55. Furthermore, the fact that disciplinary proceedings are neither civil proceedings nor criminal proceedings, but are sui generis by nature, should make it clear, therefore, that a hearing to determine whether or not a legal practitioner is involved in an act of misconduct is not concerned with the question of payment of compensation of damages as such. If any such compensation is to be paid, the decision to do so must be sanctioned by a court of law. Clause 43A(3). The disciplinary committee must not be given the power or authority to suspend the legal practitioner from practice as such, as such sanctions constitute a drastic step. The committee must recommend to the council, which may take any action as contemplated in clause 43(4) AACC. Therefore, that authority to suspend the legal practitioner must be reserved for the court. And on clause 43, in the same vein, the disciplinary committee must not be given the power of or authority to withdraw the Fidelity Fund certificate, as this also constitutes a drastic step. The committee must recommend counsel, and that right must reside with the council. Clause 52, the acting ombudsman. We are of the view that the person to be appointed in terms of clause 50 must be a former judge and possess the same attributes, competences, and qualifications as the ombudsman, as he or she will be exercising the same powers as the ombudsman. Limitations of liability of the fund. Clause 56(1)(a) provides that the fund is not liable in respect of any loss suffered by a family member or a member of the household of any attorney or advocate referred to in clause 34(2)(b) who committed the theft. The term members of the household is not defined in the bill. Its use is therefore somewhat vague. We propose that this expression be defined for clarity and competences and completeness. 117 transitional provisions relating to existing law societies and voluntary associations for advocates. The clause provides that the existing law societies must continue to perform their powers and functions until the commencement of Chapter 2 of the Bill. This can be interpreted to mean that once Chapter 2 of the Bill kicks in, such voluntary associations will automatically abolished, and this clause is therefore unconstitutional, as by its very construction violates the rights of freedom of association as provided under Section 18 of the South African Constitution Act 108 of 1996. These are comments under the preamble. Under the preamble to the bill, and under the paragraph beginning and bearing in mind that the expression national territory must be replaced by republic, so that it will read as follows. And bearing in mind, the legal profession is regulated by different laws which apply in different parts of the republic, and as a result thereof is fragmented and divided. The term republic must therefore be defined as a republic, means the Republic of South Africa. Clause 93, offences and penalties. This whole penalty clause from clause 93.1 up to and including clause 93.9 must be reviewed, and the expression is guilty of an offence as used in those clauses must be deleted wherever it appears or is employed throughout the whole penalty clause and be replaced with the expression commits an offence and is liable on conviction to fine or imprisonment, not exceeding what is reflected there. For example, section 92 reads, any person who contravenes the provisions of section 33 is guilty of an offence and is liable on conviction to a fine or imprisonment for a period not exceeding 2 years or to both such fine and imprisonment. The clause must be reconstructed and read as follows. A person who contravenes the provisions of section 33 commits an offence and is liable on conviction to a fine of imprisonment for a period not exceeding 2 years or to both such fine and imprisonment. This thing of guilty before other processes followed is a bit flawed. Using the expression is guilty of an offence anywhere under the penalty clause places the cart before the horse, as it were, due to the fact that it is only upon conviction when the accused person is found guilty. Otherwise, to say a person is guilty before this conviction violates the presumption of innocence as provided for under section 35(3)(h) of South African Constitution, Act 103 of 1996. Section 35 of the South African Constitution, Act 108 of 1996, is headed 35(1), arrested, detained, and accused person. It provides under section 35(3)(h) that every accused person has a right to a fair trial, which includes the right to be presumed innocent, to remain silent, and not to testify during the proceedings. The inclusion of the expression is guilty of an offence in any penalty clause under the new constitution dispensation therefore violates the above constitutional right. On clause 4, creation of the South African Legal Practice Council vis-à-vis the constitutional imperative for judicial independence and the independence of the legal profession. There is a background there. I will read until there are various views from a number of senior counsels there. Views of Sidney Kenridge, views of George Bizos. I think the committee members can read views of a former South African judge of the Supreme Court of Appeal, Malcolm Wallace, independence of the advocate's profession, views of the Bar Council, the position in England and Wales. So those are the views that we members can read, I'm sure everybody has heard that. Honorable Chair, paragraph 24 on 19.1, lawyers shall be entitled to form and join self-governing professional associations, So I think, Honorable Chair, those are the issues that we are raising. And I'm sure members can read. And the Eastern Cape presents that as the mandate. And as I said earlier, that we support the bill with those amendments. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Member. The Portfolio Committee on Cooperative Governance, Traditional Affairs and Human Settlements, as designated by the Free State Legislature, proposes the following amendments on the bill. That the Attorney's Fidelity Fund is not a juristic person, but is merely a fund which is held in trust and administered by a board of control. Two, that the state may not be involved in governance and management of the profession. Three, it is proposed that the definition of advocate be amended to read as follows, that it means a legal practitioner practicing as a sole practitioner on a referral basis and without a Fidelity Fund certificate. Four, clause three ought to include a sub-clause reading as follows, to protect and promote the interdependence of the legal profession. 5, clause 5G, that the word determine at the beginning of that clause be replaced with the word monitor. 6, clause 29, that the words community service be clearly defined in the bill. 7, variation on prescribed fees, impractical to regulate attorney costs on that basis. 8, attorneys who run estate agent practice are exempted from the Fidelity Fund and provision should be made for the protection of their clients. 9, section 64.2e, the LSSA submits that a committee member should be allowed to be a member of the board of the fund. And section 100, that the chairperson and deputy chairperson of the National Forum should be legal practitioners. The Free State supports the bill. Gauteng.
Yeah. Thank you, Chair. The committee knows that the bill is largely consistent with the Constitution and the values enshrined therein. The committee is however of the view that the department ought to take into account the proposals alluded above, as I will not read them in terms of the Gauteng input, to ensure that the bill, once enacted, can be implemented without challenges. That the committee also welcomes the proposals envisaged in the bill for a progressive consultative process building towards the full implementation of the bill once enacted. The committee supports, subject to proposed amendments, the principles and detail of the Legal Practice Act bill as it seeks to transform the legal profession to ensure that it accords with democratic dispensations, while it also ensure access to the legal services by most South African citizens. Gauteng, Chair, supports the bill and just want to also accept that the issues raised that are not raising now, as indicated in our document, are also taken into account here. Thank you.
Thank you, KZN.
Chair, I think we are the province with the almost the thickest document. I think if I were to take through, I mean to go through each what we are proposing on the clauses, Chair, it could be the whole night. So in a way, Chair, as the Portfolio Committee on Community Safety and Liaison dealt with the bill, and we had intense public hearings, Chair, that raised and proposed the amendments that are in Annexure A, which varies, Chair, from clause 1, 3, 5, 17, you know, Chair, almost all sections and chapters, chapter 9 and 10, up to the transitional arrangements sections. So, Chair, I think I'm proposing that we table this and this annexure, Chair, for the department to respond. However, the in general, the as you as contained in the mandate, is that the committee in its final mandate is still amenable incorporation and amendments to the bill, and we might see a different mandate, I think, when finally, in the same light, Chair, that we would have seen the C and the D, and the D versions, that would help the committee to further consider its position on the bill, and is as tabled and communicated, Chair, to the Secretariat. Thanks.
Assist the committee. I agree with what the honourable member says. It's a long document, but in the document that we've prepared, if it's been made available, KZN's proposals have been summarised quite briefly, so that might be of assistance for the committee.
Limpopo.
Committee on Safety and Security and Liaison was briefed as to procedure. Public hearings were done. There were a wide range of issues that were tackled. Almost every clause with these sections were discussed. It was indeed a legal practice bill, which needed legal mind. But one would just pinpoint on those issues that impact on some of these sections. The emphasis from your proposal is that this bill must promote the interest of the profession. That was highly emphasized, so that there is high standard of service. That's the point that was very much argued. And the other issue was that the minister the decision of the minister must be made in consultation. That is section 5, section 6, subsection 5, subsection I, multidisciplinary practices. Must be made in consultation with legal practices, LPC, and must give regard to the views of the competition commission. I won't go into details, I'll just raise issues that are. The other issue is that on the interim council, the bill must contain some features amongst them that the majority of those appointed must be legal practitioners. That the time frame or time spent for interim council should be limited. It should not take long. It should be limited. and on section 24, subsection 3, admission and enrollment for foreign legal aid. The provision say the approach to this one must be courteous so that the South African market should not be oversaturated by foreign interests without being xenophobic. The approach should be very much should be balanced in such a way that the interests of South African practitioners are taken into consideration. And further that when regulated, it must be clearly defined in government gazette so that everyone is able to understand what is going to happen. On the disqualification of members of the Board of Control on the Fund, that is section 64.2, subsection 2, subsection E, the province feels that there is no rational basis to exclude committee members. The LSSA, I submit that a committee member should be allowed to be a member of the Board of the Fund. On section 40, subsection 3, sanctioned by disciplinary committee, temporary suspension from the practice, withdrawal of validated funds, or cancellation, suspension of the vocational training. The province feels these steps are very drastic. They should not. This should not fall in the power of the disciplinary committee, but should be reserved to the legal practice council. In terms of consultation, there was a general feeling that the minister in making determination should not be after, should be in consultation. The emphasis was in consultation from time to time instead of after. So that the views of that engagement are taken into consideration in the determination of the minister. I think those are okay. This other issue of Superior Court is section 39, subsection 9. The province feels that the concept Superior Court does not move in line with our constitutional expression. Instead of Superior Court, we feel that it should be replaced and be called the High Court to correspond with the definitions. That's where we end. There are many things I think other provinces we feel that the same in terms of this argument. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mukwabi. Mpumalanga.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I must say that the Portfolio Committee on Public Works, Roads and Transport, Community Safety and Security and License did so.
Oh, we are in favor. We are in favor.
Thank you. They did see public hearings were held. And I must say that as a permanent delegate, we are conferred with the mandate to vote in favor of the bill. But taking into account the observations of the committee contained in this attached report and the amendment as proposed follow. But I'm not going to deal with the amendments, Chairperson. I believe that the document has already been forwarded to the department, and most of the amendments are of technical nature, and we believe that the department will assist in their response. Thank you.
Madam Kidd.
The legal practice bill, the Northern Cape legislature, just set a few inputs here.
Thank you, Chair. my apologies. The Northern Cape provincial legislature had a few inputs. The inputs of the stakeholders and then the inputs of the committee inputs on the bill. I'll just read those five clause changes. Clause 7.1b that the bill include that the bill include the teachers of the law have the appropriate qualifications. I heard also the Eastern Cape said the same thing. Clause 7. The committee suggests that this clause include a sub clause that states that female legal practitioners be proportionally represented in the council to effect transformation in the profession, the bar and the bench. Clause 26.1c, that the minister in consultation with the council prescribes the practitioner vocational training requirements for a candidate legal practitioner. Clause 29.1, that the minister in consultation with the council prescribe the requirements for committee services. Clause 37 to 40, establishment of disciplinary bodies. The standing committee proposes that section 37 to 40 be deleted and substituted with the following section. And I read 37.1. The council must, in consultation with the South African Law Reform Commission, develop a uniform disciplinary code to deal with all complaints of misconduct against legal practitioners, candidate legal practitioners, or juristic entities. 2. The minister must publish the uniform disciplinary code in the Gazette. Clause 47.1. That the president appoints the legal services ombud in consultation with the Chief Justice. Clause 51 and 2. That the president must, in consultation with the Chief Justice, make the appointment of the acting ombud. Clause 96.1c. Be substituted with the following section. Subject to subsection 3, 2, fit and proper persons with relevant who, in the opinion of the minister, are fit and proper persons who have knowledge of the legal profession designated by the minister. The Portfolio Committee position on the bill. After due deliberation, the Standing Committee on Constitutional Affairs, Petition and Public Participation supports the bill. And the committee supports the bill, Chair. The legislature, Northern Cape.
Okay, thank you, Honourable Kunda. Northwest.
thank you, Chairperson. I've had a nine-page document. On the second page, it is a table of contents. You can go through it. I'm going right to page 9, recommendations of the portfolio committee and conclusion. And I want to read it. Recommendation, that's on page 9, of the portfolio committee, the Northwest Province legislature is in support of the bill. And then point 10, the conclusion, the committee concludes that the House approved the passing of the legal practice bill. I thank you.
Thank you very much, Western Cape.
Thank you, Chair. The document received by the Western Cape government highlights a number of issues, Honourable Chair, relating to this particular bill. And after this long explanations that we have, that's been included in this document, it points to the fact that the Western Cape government will not support the bill. Honourable Chair, this is a number of pages which I need to go through, but I'll highlight a few of the, in my opinion, important ones. Comments were made, a number of comments were made and proposals were included in terms of the legal advice received for the Western Cape government. Some would focus on the advocates in the current systems, that it indicates that it could decrease rather than increase the advocates when it referred to day-to-day training and the regulating of the advocate's profession. It further goes on to say that this bill, in the governance structure of the bill, and it entails a significant increase in subscription fees, which will cause an upward pressure on the cost of the legal services. And we'll see another point that is raised in this document is the administration of justice, that the council be dissolved and then approach the High Court for an order of dissolving this council. Now, the advice received there was that this clause provides that the council cannot be dissolved on the minister's opinion alone, and that judicial intervention or oversight should be provided for. It further states that the minister, the extensive powers of given to the minister would pose a threat to the independence of the legal profession and also the public confidence in the legal system could be questioned. There's a question asking what is the basic details of the provisions relating to transformation envisaged in the bill, and what are the forms and the periods of community service which would be required. And the comment here is the bill provides no answers to these questions. It is therefore impossible to know whether what might ultimately to be introduced would an improvement on the current system kick in. So it refers to a risk in the profession in terms of the independence, and we seek the opposite. We seek to draw more people to the profession instead of losing people. Further comment is the bill should deal separately with vocational training and examinations for candidate advocates, and this comments is made in relation to comments 5 and 7, which is reiterated here. The bill should contain sufficient detail on the basic requirements and criteria in respect of the admission on vocational training measures. There's a comment made by the Cape Bar Council, which is included here, Honourable Chair, and it refers to the circumstances which, while recognizing certain positive aspects of the bill, the Cape Bar Council actually upfront says it cannot support the bill in its present form. Another comment refers to the determination of fees for the Fidelity Fund certificates by the Council, which relates to the fund making rules to the cost of the Fidelity and the fund certificates. And it indicates here that it indeed appears as though these clauses may be improved. The view expressed is relates to the Council's to make the actual determination of the quantum fees subject to the Board's rules, and the Department should reconsider these clauses as to ensure that absolute clarity is there on what is intended. And it also indicates further, it goes without saying, that maybe the actuarial determinations as provided in Clause 72 of the Bill will inform the Board's determination of these terms. Honourable Chair, yes, one or two comments where direct proposals is made for the annual appropriation or made by the fund and certain amounts it refers to. For example, it says to ensure long-term sustainability of the fund and to exclude any uncertainties. Council in any given year, it's proposed that Section 22 be reworded as follows, and then it says that the Board, after consultation with the Council, provided that it is in the objective opinion of the actuary referred to in Section 72.1, financially feasible for the fund to make monies available to the Council by way of an appropriation in the financial year, failing which no such annual appropriation shall be made in the financial year concerned. There's a further indicating that the objective opinion of the actuary on whether the financially feasibility of the fund to make money is available to the council by way of an appropriation in the financial year. It further says that the bill provides any legal practitioner practicing with a fidelity fund certificate for the first time must complete a legal practice management course approved by the council. So this actually refers to the section 34.2b, which includes a new category of a practitioner, which falls within the scope of the risk of the profile of the fund. Honourable Chair, it further states that the fund is liable to reimburse persons who is suffering a loss as a result of theft of money, and it's actually says that in the course of the practice of an advocate referred to in section 34.2 of such, if the theft is committed and by an attorney in that practice or an advocate. So it actually tells us here that from a legal drafting perspective, this submission is strictly is correct, but for the sake of clarity, there's amendments should be made. So there's a proposal here that is recommended from the Western Cape government. It also indicates that the Law Society of South Africa has now suggested the extension of liability in terms of the sections to theft committed by an attorney or person employed by that attorney who acted as an estate agent in the course and scope of his practice. Honourable Chair, there is a section here that I need to bring to your attention regarding the claim for reimbursement as provided for in section 56, which is limited, and it says in the case of money given in the trust to a trust accountable practice to the amount actually handed over, which without interest, unless interest has been earned and given in the trust to the practice, or unless the board in its discretion decides to pay interest. It's a number of comments here that I'm sure the department have taken note of, and it actually says that it refers to that the fund is given an overall discretion regarding the payments of this interest, which is a comment which is questioned. In section 64.2e, it refers to the disqualification of members of the council and any of its committees from becoming members of the board of control of the fund. And it further states that this disqualification of members of the committees is too wide. And it is proposed that the disqualification apply to members of the council and any of its governance committees only. And the fund is not obliged in good course shown to pay any portion of the claim which could reasonably be recovered from any of these persons or institution that is liable. Section 86 provide that 5% of the interest earned on client investment vest in and shall be paid over to the fund, and it is recommended that 5% be changed to 5% of such percentage as may be determined by the minister on the recommendation of the board from time to time. The advice given for section 80 is that a claimant that has received part of a claim that is satisfied in terms of his of the fund should not be restricted from approaching the court and claiming damages for the balance of the amount by which the claimant estate has been diminished. The South African Attorneys Association made a comment about the abolition of the Law Society, which are accountable to members instead of the profession, and which will be regulated by a statutory body the Legal Practice Council, and it refers to here where the this body is accountable to the Minister of Justice, and that the Minister will also appoint some of the members in terms of Section 7, and the South African Attorneys Association have actually found this comment, in their words, undesirable. They indicate it is not clear from the comment in this format why the provisions are considered undesirable. That is what the legal people of the province have raised, but nevertheless, that was a comment from the SA Attorneys Association. The Minister will have wide regulatory powers previously held by the law societies, including the determination of fees or legal services, the issuing of regulations regarding community service, Section 29, and the powers to appoint interim counsel after dissolving the Legal Practice Council pursuant to a court order. Comment here is that the limitations of the Minister's power to dissolve the council have been dealt with, but it indicates further that the determination of the legal fees in Clause 35 of the bill appears to be delimited by the various factors, the fees initially determined by the Rules Board of the Courts of Law, and the latter in terms of recommendations which was made by the South African Law Reform Commission. There's a comment made with regard to retired judge that will have various provision on the independence of I'm not sure it's ombudsman or ombud, it's ombud, the which clauses refers to 47.2 and 47.4 and 49. It actually refers to the legal profession's recommendation that the ombud be appointed by the Chief Justice, and according to this document, it was actually rejected. It's one of the undesirable provisions that was included. Comments received by other bodies is included here. I think the most important one, Honourable Chair, that the bill from individuals, and that the bill legislates retrospectively as to the meaning of what the legal practitioner is. And at the present, there are attorneys and advocates, as there is no law or registration present for what is known as a legal practitioner. The bill legislates retrospectively in this deeming of the admission and is unconstitutional in discriminating amongst what is supposed to be equally and peers in principle, namely lawyers. It indicates that the bill is also in violation of the Competitions Commission, finding that the professions must have equal admission and access. Honourable Chair, that is I noted the most important comments from various role players that were consulted regarding this bill. And at this point, I will conclude and by saying that repeating the Western Cape negotiating mandate is not too supportable. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Joseph. Honourable members, the department received mandates from Western Cape and Gauteng very late, and they have not responded. They requested time to peruse the documents, and the responses will be ready tomorrow morning. We still have to continue tomorrow morning at 10. So the meeting is adjourned until tomorrow morning. 10 o'clock. meeting is adjourned until tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock.
Chair, we want to make some comments. We know deal with...
Not now. Reserve them for tomorrow.